I don't know about what you heard, but this text is really rich. It's really grabbing. It's full of texture. I don't know if you heard that. It's difficult to even determine where to start with it, because there's so many things that are involved as we hear it in the story. Now, we could go so many places with it, but I found the point of ignition, as they call it, you know, where there's a fire, you know, there's a spot where it starts. And I think this is it. And I don't know whether you consider this text a metaphor or you consider it a narrative. It's clear that something is dead to begin with, right? Yes. Something is dead to start. Dry bones. Now, dry bones, and as we heard the description of dry bones in this valley, and there were a multitude of them, we can think of so many things that could have caused that, right? The first thing that comes to mind is war. It could be a catastrophe, a disaster, calamity. It could even have been a pandemic. We're not told exactly, but we're given some reference on it. We'll talk about it. But being in that state could be because of an outside force, or it could be a consequence of our own actions. It can be self-induced. I mean, we can be in that valley, our bones as dry as they can be, and I'm talking, right, it's metaphorically now, because of many things. But regardless of the cause, the main thing here is coming to grips with what happens to these dry bones. And let's start with some context. In the previous chapter in Ezekiel, we learned that Israel has come to be in exile for a reason. Right? Their own missteps. In other words, Babylon conquest and the subsequent exile of the Jews was the result of their lack of attention. Please hear this. Their lack of attention to their relationship with God. Now, this has been controversial for ages, because it puts God in the light of being a vindictive God. When you have a girlfriend and your girlfriend doesn't return your calls, we might get to that point, right? Where we would say, well, if you're not going to return my calls, I know what to do with you, right? I'm going to slash your tires. No, right? Right? Now, you might have this boyfriend or this person that you really want to have that relationship be alive, and guess what? Nothing is coming back. And maybe that person is thinking, you know, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And here we are just festering, right? And this is building up in us. And this is the way that sometimes we think of scenarios like these. We just allow ourselves to dress God in those same terms. If you don't do things the way I tell you, then you will suffer the consequences by my own hand. Right? punishment. Punishment. Now that word punishment is not a word that we want to hear. Right? How many have been children here? Right? Did we ever want to hear that we were going to be punished from by our parents? I mean, there's no way, right? We don't want that. And that keeps on, right? Even as time goes on, we do not like to be punished. Anybody? Punishment seems to be that focal point of some of our thinking along the lines of God's relationship with people. No wonder there's so much apathy in today's world towards this God. Because people don't want to hear it. I don't need to be judged. And I don't need to receive what's coming if I can get away with it. Right? So you see, it's in this light that we see even the events of Holy Week. 2 weeks from now, we're going to celebrate that. And it's also been sort of controversial, because it's hard to understand. Why would God punish His own Son for our sake? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It must mean that God is mean. Our logical conclusion, right? It must mean that God is mean. And if that's this God, I don't want to believe in that God. I had a friend, personal friend, in business, from Brazil. He was Jewish. And he was an atheist. And he told me directly, he says, I cannot believe in a God that would allow the Holocaust to happen. And I can understand the perspective, but the thing is that sometimes we miss the point. Probably you have heard that from other people too, right? I can't believe in a God that allows bad things to happen to good people, right? And all the disasters, all the things that are going on around in our world, we think of them as only by God's hands. Because it's true, part of our theology is, if God's in control, right? Why is this happening? But even if we view things in that light, we must also see a God that rescues. Right? Not only a God that rescues, but also a God that reestablishes a relationship with the people, specifically with the people of Israel. And looking at the Old Testament, at the Hebrew Scriptures, we must also see the way that consistently God stretched out His hand to bring back His people to Himself. And that extends to the whole wide world. You see, God takes steps to remedy the situation. And I don't know about what you think, but I think that's the gospel, right? That's it. The good news. You see, Israel is in exile, and God brings them back to their land. The world is lost, but God sends His Son. I mean, you see the pattern, right? So, I don't know, when you try to envision this bunch of bones, and try to recreate that scene in your mind. It may be a little difficult, but thank God for technology, right? Thank God for the new movies, the CGI, right? The computer-generated images, right? That actually shine some light in how things can come back to life in those terms, right? Anybody remember the Pirates of the Caribbean? Right? All right? You know, you can see a figure that is, you know, all of a sudden it's all right, and then it steps into the light, and when it steps into the light, it's all bones, right? And then it steps back into, and there's flesh in it. So, you know, we have actually, in our experience, some way of telling how bones can actually walk without having flesh in them, and not only that, but come back to life. So, for us, it's much easier to imagine because of all that help. Now the guts is the hard time. That's the hard part for me. I don't know if you can think of the how in the world is God going to put all the guts back. But anyway, I'm sorry I diverted. You see that scene that God presents to Ezekiel is representing something. It's representing hope. It's representing hope for an Israel that has been in exile, that has been taken away from everything that they called holy and true, and part of who they were. God is the hope of the nations. Right, and we may hear that and say, "It sounds good. It sounds good." But look at Syria right now. Right. It sounds good, but look at all the places, you know, Burma, Myanmar. You look at all the places where there's just havoc. It sounds good. How is God going to be the hope of places like this? And I think that the scene that we're presented with is saying something, even though things seem to be hopeless, even though it seems like things have no life, it's even though that things are not looking good at all, there's still hope. Amen. Even though things look like a pile of dry bones, death, decay, there is still hope. And you know why? Because God, the Creator, right? The Creator, that's how we know this God, can also recreate. Even what's dead. Now that was a spot, right, where we can all have said, "Amen," right? Amen. Or as we said last week, "Andale, amigo." I mean, this—that's one of the things, right, that we know we can rely on because God is the God of hope, even for situations that seem completely hopeless. And that's why I titled this sermon, "Walking There Dry." You see, there seems to me that there's an idea in this metaphor. That even though things are not looking good, there's hope. And if there's hope, that means that I can move. Right? If there is hope, that means that I don't have to be stuck. If there's hope, that means that I can take action, even though it seems like everything's dry. And it seems like everything is hopeless. There's an implication in that, right? In situations that are helpless, situations that don't seem to have any resolution, in the end, those can be redeemed. Amen? The big question is, do you believe it? Ooh. Another silence. You see, you know, we see that scenario is presented to us for a reason. And God is telling this prophet, prophesy. And I can only think of what he's thinking. What? What do you mean? Prophesy to bones? Dry bones? That's like speaking to the wall. There's nothing there. There's no life there. Why should I waste my time? Well, maybe that's the point of it all. What we think is wasting our time may be all that is needed for God to do what He needs to do. Because God can speak and bring breath of life to what is dead. And maybe that is not necessarily a person, but it could be situations. Therefore, our situation or our condition is, you know, it may be a result of our disobedience. It may be a consequence of our own actions. It may be something that is way beyond our grasp. Maybe we don't even understand why we're there where we're at. Or why our person that we love is there where we're there at. And we don't understand how it came to be. And you know that we are crazy about explanations, right? We go nuts trying to explain and trying to understand things. I tell my wife many times, understanding is way overrated. Even those things when are beyond, you know that God can bring life to dry bones. That's what this text is saying. Think about it. First of all, dry bones have no capacity of their own. Do they?
No.
They can't put themselves together. They can't tie sinews on themselves. There is no power, no ability in themselves, right? And still... Still, even when they have no way of getting out of their own way, they cannot get out of their own condition on their choice. Still, these dry bones are reconstituted and they are made come back to life. Now, there's a professor of Old Testament, her name is Patricia Toll, she says, the prophet is understandably pessimistic about human goodness. Though blessed with moral agency, they are not more able to use this faculty well than lifeless bones are able to get up and walk. You see, because God is speaking about Israel. And God is saying to Ezekiel, Israel has got themselves into this trouble. And guess what? They're dead. They're dead because they have done everything wrong. And for that, there's consequence. And you know what? They can help themselves. They cannot. And even though they can't help themselves, here it is. I have a word for you. Breathe. Breathe. Tell these bones to reconstitute themselves. Tell them to come back together. Tell them to reconstitute all flesh and skin and cover themselves. And tell them. Tell the winds from all directions to breathe life upon them. Maybe some of you are there. Maybe some of you are feeling hopeless in your situation. And maybe, truly, maybe it's a condition beyond your control. Anybody have children? Right? You know what I'm talking about. You see, that's this what this text is telling us. It's telling us, even if you feel dead, even if you feel dry, it's just bones. The way to walk through it is not trusting in your own abilities, is not trusting in your own capabilities, but to trust in your Creator. You see, there's a shift there. You see, even Jesus was conveying the same message to those who were present when Lazarus died. Remember that, right?
Yeah.
Remember that scene? Yeah. Lazarus dead. And guess what? Everybody's crying. Oh, it's all over. We won't have Lazarus anymore. And here is Jesus who feels every emotion that they're feeling, right? Yes. And tell them it's not over. It's not over. And then he calls him out. Come alive, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Here comes out Lazarus. I mean, it's way beyond what we can explain, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's way beyond what we can understand. But here we are trying to understand. I got to understand this. Somehow, for it to be resolved, I have to understand. Now you get it, right? There are things that go beyond our understanding. And that's the power of our God. He's got the power to overcome the things that we think cannot be overcome. Jesus himself, now hear me, Jesus himself walked through the valley of death, right?
Yes.
And he walked right through it to the other side. Can we explain it?
No.
Can we understand it? But God did. Jesus, in his own experience, had to let go. I don't know if you're following me, guys. You understand what I'm saying? He had to say, God, Father, I wish I didn't have to go through this, because it's going to be painful. Not only that, but I'm going to have to die. And I don't like it. Especially when we're talking about all these bunch of... you cannot picture, right? You cannot picture Jesus saying that. Right? but imagine that. Jesus in hell himself had to go through the experience of saying, Father, I'm yours. Your will be done. Your will be done. I don't get it. I know what's ahead of it. But your will be done. Amen. He had to rest in his own Father's power to get some things accomplished, like bringing him back from the dead. And so do we. God will make a way. Remember Don Moen's lyrics, the song? God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closer to his side with love and strength for each new day. You hear that? For each new day. He will make a way, and he will make a way. Ezekiel 36 says, verse 26 says, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and then you shall live in the land. The one that I gave to your ancestors. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. Stubborn. Now, if that's not amazing, I don't know what is. You see, Israel, a people disobedient, doing the wrong thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Going their own way. And God proves himself over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And even then, when they are dead, like dry bones, God tells them, I will. This is not because you're great people. No, this is not because you're very faithful. No, this is not. No, no, no. I will. I will not only give you a new heart, but I will put my spirit within you. So walking there dry. It's like walking there through faith alone. Walking there because we know this God. And this God is a God of mercy. A God of love. And a God that is full of power. So maybe that's the answer for us. Can we rely and trust in this God? Let's pray. God, how do we live? How do we live? When we're so involved in ourselves that we don't allow you to be manifested in us. How do we have hope when we cannot open our eyes to your promises? Help us. Even the disciples said, Lord, we believe, help us in our unbelief. And sometimes, Lord, we get encased in that reframing of our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you may help us to see another light, see another way. In Jesus we pray. Amen.